Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our presenters, Joe Toffrey. Joe is a movement professional and owner of Train for Your Best. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Joe will deliver a talk titled Data Analytics for Sports Performance and Injury Prevention. Joe, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me on. I'm honored to be on and looking forward to the conference.
Yeah, us too. Glad to have you. So why don't we just get started? Tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get into training? And then from there, how did you go about incorporating data analytics and data in general into your work?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good question. I grew up in Michigan, so I'm new to the Wisconsin area. I was a college strength conditioning coach my whole life. I went to Western Michigan University. Always loved sports, so that was kind of my thing, and I always loved training. So it just kind of mixed and molded there. I got my master's degree from Western Michigan University in exercise science, and I was a graduate assistant there. Got the job at University of Detroit Mercy as director of strength conditioning. I believe I was the youngest for 2 or 3 years, so you make a lot of mistakes, but turn that program around pretty good. And I always wanted to get to the NBA. That was kind of my goal, opportunity to get there with the Pistons. And then I had a little baby boy and you know how that goes. Once you have a child and things kind of change a little bit. So decided to get into the private sector, and open up my own business and, been doing that ever since. And, my son lives here in Wisconsin, so it's great to see him every single day. And, excited to run my own business and sports performance and, you know, injury recovery and, you know, corporate wellness and fitness and kind of anything that's why I call myself a movement professional, because that's what we deal with, human movement, right? So human movement is kind of our specialty, and we want to make the best movers, no matter what it is, if it's strength or coming back from an injury or, you know, losing weight. It all determines on being a better mover. So that's kind of where our goals are here at Train for Your Best. As far as getting into data and analytics, I mean, it's every day, right? I mean, we're always trying to – the body, to me, is the most sophisticated organism in the world. So every day we're learning more new things about it. And we do that through research. And that's what data is research. I think what we do is we test people and or clients or athletes or whatever it may be. And then what we do is we – program them and then put them back on some type of test to see if we got better or worse. And then, you know, one thing that I know is true, Scott, is that everyone's an individual, right? So what works for some doesn't work for everyone. So you really got to start looking into data of an individual as well and trying to figure out, what's best for them. And we do that by analyzing, and we do that by keeping track of what we're doing and going about it. But I think, you know, one of the most important things to me, Scott, when you look at that is, I think there's two kind of types of data. There's that data of the person that you're training, but I think there's also data of the person that's doing the workout for themselves, right? There's that psychologicalness to it that, hey, I'm getting better. It's kind of like a scale. I want to lose weight. I step on the scale. I do a program. I step back on the scale and hopefully I lost weight, right? That gives them motivation. It shows that the program works. So I think the data is just not good for us as a practitioner or a strength coach or a trainer or a physical therapist or whatever you may be, but it's also as important for the client so that they know kind of what, that the program's working or not working and why, and then we kind of go from there. So there's so much to do with it, right? So much data, and it's so important for success, and that's kind of what we use it for.
So in many respects, this has been around for a long time in your field. How has maybe that approach to data changed in the last 4 or 5 years, let's say, since you were with the Pistons? It's not as simple as just, again, stepping on a scale to see if you lost weight or anything like that. But what's changed? Has it been the volume of data that's collected, the understanding of how to use it? Can you give me some examples?
Yeah, I think a couple things. Number one, we're so deep into data now that we're measuring how much eversion somebody's ankle has in a certain amount of degrees, right? It used to just be, you know, what do they bench squat and how high can they jump? And now we're getting into angle measurements of each joint and analyzing that, because we're really trying to determine, you know, how good an athlete can truly be or where they might be having a symmetry. And that kind of, I think, well, with evolution breeds technology, right? And with all this new technology that we have, we're able to kind of dig deeper into the analytics and test more things without taking too much time too. I think that's a big piece of the puzzle is, you know, I'm in a local high school here and we do want to do data testing. There's no doubt to see how we're doing, but we also don't want to spend 4 days just on data testing and we don't get any training in. So being able to, I think one of the big things that's changed is being able to use your data while you're testing is a big deal. I just talked to a school locally and they have this little device, timing device that goes on their athletes and every movement they make. Anytime that device changes a directional coordinate, it picks up a sensor and it tells how much time it took to get there. So if I have four cones out and it can talk about how long it took me to decelerate and then accelerate at each cone, and that can tell you a lot of data about the right versus left, their three-dimensional movement, whether it's forward or backwards or right lateral, left lateral, or rotational. And so just the amount of data that we can pick up on athletes or movement or anything has come a long ways in the last 4 or 5 years, and I'm sure it's only going to get bigger and bigger. So big changes.
Sure. So compare and contrast then. You mentioned high school. You worked at Detroit Mercy, worked with the Pistons. Compare and contrast what's being done at those three types of levels of athletics in terms of data analytics and movement.
Yeah, well, I think I literally just got off the phone with one of my friends. I'll rename nameless because it's an NBA team, and they're looking at one of my former athletes, and we're talking about movement of them. And we're literally dissecting, you know, his lumbar spine and how it moves when he rotates. And we're talking through that phase and we're measuring it through an app that we use called Spark Motion and taking him through movement patterns and seeing how much hip extension he has. And then what are his tendencies when he plays, different stuff like that. That's at the highest level, obviously. When you move to the college level, you're doing a lot of still some mobility things, I think. I know I did. But a lot of, you know, how well they change directions, how far they can jump, some mobility tests, you know, the functional movement screen or Gary Gray's 3D map screen, using data analytics for that. And you still do some of your traditional bench and squat numbers as well at the college level. But then at the high school level, I think you that's where you kind of traditionally, that's when you get into what do they bench, what do they squat, what do they power clean, and then put it up on the board. And that's kind of the only analytics, unfortunately, that they're kind of showing in high school. But I think even that's evolving, you know, and we're getting a little bit more detailed. So it definitely, as you, sports is a business, right? So as the marketing, as the businesses go up or as the money makes it, I just saw a stat the other day that Odell Beckham Jr., but one of the wide receivers last year made $110,000 a catch or something, you know. So it's pretty unbelievable that the kind of money that goes into that, and then, you know, obviously the more money goes into it, the more money that's built on that person, the more investment they have, and I think the more analytics they want to know about those people. I'm hearing at the NBA or the NFL Combine now that they're basically MRIing every single joint to see, you know, what each joint, I broke my thumb when I was three. Okay, let's get an MRI on that, make sure it's cleared. You know, there's just stuff like that. It's pretty unbelievable. So
thinking about it, this from the business angle too, then, you know, I would imagine that previously or in your years past, that an obstacle towards implementing a lot of data collection and analysis at the lower, you know, sub-professional levels like high school, that cost would be a barrier in terms of being able to afford the equipment to collect this data in the first place, and then either the software or expertise to analyze it. Are you seeing the pricing of those sorts of goods and services coming down and becoming more accessible to people at the high school or maybe even the junior high or then the youth level?
Absolutely. A couple of years ago, I think we talked about this a little bit, Scott, as I came out with an online platform that's called Kinexit, K-I-N-E-X-I-T, and it's kinexit.com is the website. But what we did is we made an online training platform for athletes that are in that mindset. And actually, we have some pro athletes, pro golfers on it right now that are loving it too. But they're able to screen themselves, right? Which is a huge, huge benefit to them. You know, I can be here in Wausau, Wisconsin, and I could tell a kid that they want to start training with me, and I can say, okay, go to Connexit, and I want you to log into this account, and I want you to follow the screening protocol. And they can do that for me with just a tape measure and a stopwatch, and they can get through their mobility test and their flexibility test and their jumping test and their their agility test. And as long as that they're honest with themselves and where they're at, I think that's where technology's been able to kind of scale a service of testing and analytics, because that way people can do it on their own without having to get in a group and pay somebody to do it. You know, I think we're kind of getting out of the mindset of these combine type things where people come in and do all this testing. But testing, you're not really doing a lot of training during then. So you're not really getting better. You are where you are, right? So I think we also got to remember that we have to continue to work hard. But yeah, just the ability to scale it through technology, and the ability for people to do it on their own, to screen themselves. I mean, it's not that hard to jump out with 2 feet and see how far you land. You don't need to pay a bunch of money for someone to tell you how far you can do it, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a good resource for people.
Yeah. Well, you know, the combine comment you just had is an interesting one, because, you know, it's well established that a lot of these movements and tests that they put people through have very little bearing on game actions. Let's just say NFL, nobody's going to run a 40-yard sprint, or very rarely. But at least it provides context, because we have decades of data, right, of X player ran the 40-yard dash at X in X time, or the 20-yard shuttle cone drill, whatever it be. How do we go about developing that context for some of these new pieces of data that we're measuring on each individual exit? You mentioned, you know, the angle of a joint before. What determines whether that's good or not, or whether that's healthy or not? How are we supposed to make that analysis?
Well, I think what I always do, Scott, is I look at whenever I design a program for somebody, the data and analytics that I look at is I'll ask somebody, who's the best of the best at that, right? So, you know, there's all this talk about, you know, the NBA Finals just got done, and I know the guy that works with Kevin Durant, and he's such a good mover, right? And so we're looking at that as, you know, what makes him so good? You know, what are his angles like? What are his scores like? What are his tests, right? I know at the NBA Combine, he dropped the 185 on his chest and almost broke his ribs. So, but he's one of the best players in the NBA, right?
Right.
So it's just funny that you know, we kind of come full circle with that. And I think that's what I do. I mean, at the end of the day, they're there for a reason, right? So let's test those guys and see. I use the same example. I was just at a local high school talking about power cleaning. And if you ever want to see something funny, search Usain Bolt 2006 or something, power clean, and he can't do it. Like, it's awful, but yet he's the fastest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. Yet there's people that claim that a power clean will tell you how fast you can run. But I bet the best power cleaner in the world is probably a guy that doesn't run very well. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I think we've skewed the analytics a little bit, you know, in that department. And I think what we really need to do is take a look at the best of the best, test them in whatever tests we come up with that look, smell, and taste like the sport, and then determine those standards and try to figure out, you know, what I can do as the eighth grade quarterback to become the next Aaron Rodgers, and what makes him so good. It's not bench press, you know what I mean? And so I think we just need to be smarter about how we choose what to test and why that makes them good. And then kind of stem off that, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. The Durant comment's a funny one. That's a great basketball example. Who cares how many times Kevin Durant can bench press anything, right? If you can shoot like that and move like that, that's a great example. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of NFL quarterbacks, I know you've worked with Kirk Cousins, Washington Redskins quarterback, former Michigan State star. Without revealing anything proprietary or you know, trade secrets of his, I mean, how did you work with him, and how did you use data to maybe inform the work that you did with Kirk Cousins?
Lots of stuff. You know, we look at his games and try to determine, you know, when we look at performance-based numbers, we'll look at games and we want to know, you know, how many times did he miss high, how many times did he miss low, you know, how many times he missed right, how many times he missed left in his throws, how many times, how long it takes him to move to his left if he's in the pocket and he's getting, you know, someone's coming from his right and he's got to go left, how long does it take him to cut and go right? And we look at those things, and what we're doing, Scott, is we're looking for unsuccess in, you know, places where he wasn't successful. And then we have the off season to work on that. Right. So we're literally using numbers for those types of things. And, you know, we're seeing, and then, you know, is it late in games? Is that what's happening? Is it the later in games where he's missing throws high or low? Is he fatigued? You know, is it a fatigue issue? And then trying to pinpoint the reasoning. Now, it's always a hypothesis, right, of why, but we can try to pinpoint some work on him and then see kind of where it comes to that. But we do the same type of joint angles and stuff. And then how does he feel? You know, that's kind of one too. We use analytics where we say, hey, you know, 1 through 5, how do you feel in the first, second, third, fourth quarter? How do you feel after this certain stretch? You know, how does your shoulder feel? How do your knees feel? You know, how do you feel when you leave the pocket? I think at the end of the day, some of the best analytics can be more of a psychological analytic than just a number that comes, pops out in there. Because athletes perform the best when they feel the best, not when they necessarily are the best body, you know? And so, that's a whole nother can of worms that I've looked into lately is the psychological piece to it. Having the opportunity to work in college and professional sports and many athletes at every level, usually the best ones are the best minds, the most confident, right? And do the right things as well. Yeah. But those kind of numbers too can be as important.
That's probably also got to be though one of the toughest things to measure though, Craig, and quantify. I mean, you know, how comfortable do you feel? How do you measure that? Or how confident do you feel right now? I mean, do you ask them, you know, like scale 1 to 10, you know, I'm a 7, you know, is it something like that? Because those seem to like really intangible attributes, right? So yeah, how do you measure that?
I agree 100%. And I think one of the things that I do that I think you have to learn how to, you know, when you're with an athlete at that caliber and you're with them all the time and you kind of know before they even say anything and you're kind of putting your number in your head. If it's a 1 through 4, 1 being bad and 4 being, hey, that was really good. You kind of know just by watching their body language and watching what happens. Oh, that really helped, or no, that was really stupid, you know? So I think it's, I usually kind of use a 1 through 4 scale on it and say, you know, did this improve greatly? Did it improve just a little bit? You know, 2 being it didn't really improve, 1 being it got worse, and then 0 meaning if we had any pain or discomfort, then we definitely know we're not on the right page. I kind of use that scale as my kind of gauge when I'm talking to my athletes, especially. And then we want to stick with the 3s and 4s and see if we can continue to mold those. But 0s, we definitely want to stay away from as much as we can.
Joe, aside from, you know, like being like me, putting on a Fitbit and tracking how many steps you take in a day, you know, how would you advise somebody who's looking to incorporate more data into their fitness, their performance, their, again, injury prevention? How would you advise they get started in doing such a thing?
Yeah, I think what happens is, Scott, a lot of times is we get too technical in some of our analytics. I think we're looking at, well, how many calories did I do, or how many, you know, how many steps did I take, and all that can be good. I'd rather take a step back and say, how many days in a row did I exercise? Like, that's still a quantitative number, right? That's still analytics. How many days did I not give up before I had to take that day off? Or, you know, I use this too. And I think nutrition is a big, obviously a masterpiece to this whole deal. I look at it, I always tell people, eat a piece of food. And then how do you feel an hour later? Do you feel like crap or do you feel good? Use the scale 1 to 10 and tell me how you feel. If it's a 10, then that's a really good food for you, right? Talk about breakfast foods, and a lot of athletes don't want to eat before. But if they don't have gas in their tank, they're not very good. I can't eat, you know, cereal, I'll puke, or I can't eat yogurt, the dairy. Okay, you don't have to eat that then. Let's try a piece of fruit. How did you feel? So if 1 is yogurt and 10 is banana, then I think we know where to go, you know, with that individual person. So I think I really like the Fitbit and I like the calorie tracking, but sometimes I think taking a step back and just saying, you know, can I go from 11 minutes to 12 minutes? I think is just as valuable as understanding the exact number of calories that I burned, if that makes sense.
So it's developing historical data. Is that a historical count of where you're at in certain areas?
Yeah, I think, you can use analytics to figure out why do you stop? You know, at some point we all get on programs, right? And we've all gone through success at some point with weight loss or fitness, or especially people that are trying to get back into it. I think trying to figure out why you stopped, and then trying to build on that resource and saying, hey, you know, I stopped because I felt like my life was too busy, or I felt like, I didn't have the resource. Then let's take a look at that and then determine how we get back. Where did you find success? And then let's build on that analytic instead of just trying to, oh, this Fitbit is what's going to really motivate me. I think that runs dry once you understand what it does, and then that's it, you know? So taking a deeper look and then goal setting, right? I don't think we reward ourselves for goal setting enough. And I think that's another reason why people fail. So you can use the analytics for goal setting. Hey, I'm only going to eat, 1800 calories Monday through Friday. Let's record that data. Let's use all these apps. And it's amazing now what apps can do. You know, you just type in apple and great, it tells you every single thing that's in it, from the micronutrients all the way through. You can track all that data online and set some goals with those. So I do love analytics because it's a one piece I love. It's a motivator, right? That's what it's telling us. It's telling us the good from the bad. It's telling us what we're doing well and we're not doing well. And it makes life a lot easier. When I had to do it when I was in college and I'd go through weight fluctuations, I had to write it down in a notebook with my hand, and look it up on Google or look it up in a book of how many calories it was. And now today, geez, you can scan things and it tells you what's in it. So just the ability is unbelievable of the resources we have to scale or to look at data to reach our goals.
Yeah. It's a great perspective. Data as a motivator. I like that. So, hey Joe, where can people find out more about you guys online and maybe follow you on social media?
Yeah. So our website is www.trainforyourbest.com. That's TRAIN, the number 4 and then yourbest.com. That's a good resource. On social media and on Facebook is Train for Your Best. We've been doing a lot of blog posts on our social media page about, fitness motivation. We did a motivational week where each day we had a different motivator. Our Instagram page has that as well. And that's just train_4_your_best. We're just trying to, help people reach their potential and trying to use data to get us there, right? And we're excited for that. And Kinexit obviously is another resource too. And that's just Kinexit is in KINEXIT. That's on social media as well and website. So,
all right. Well, thanks a lot. So, again, my guest today has been Joe Toffrey of Train for Your Best and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference. Joe will deliver a talk titled "Data Analytics and Sports Performance for Sports Performance and Injury Prevention." Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today, Joe.
Hey, thanks, guy. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. And hopefully we can really learn some stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, definitely. And thank you for listening today. Again, this Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details. And make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.